Our scripture reading for today comes from the New Testament lesson of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Let us now hear this word of God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. This is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Answering God's call upon our lives is not a linear one-time yes, but instead a series of I'm not sure, and I don't think I can, and is it the right timing? And am I the right person? And yes, God, in your faithfulness, I will try to be faithful. And one of these combinations of I'm not sure and yes, God, in your faithfulness, I will try to be faithful, I found myself at Camp Don Lee the summer of my sophomore year of college. And that summer, on the banks of the Neuse River, I found myself leaning into this wild call towards ministry, caring deeply for all of the young disciples in my midst, and loving every second of every game that I ever played. My favorite being, the ground is lava. And yes, as I said those words, I saw a couple of you shift in your seat, trying to pull your feet up off the floor. When we played this game at camp, we would be in the middle of anything, a conversation, a lesson, whatever it was, and any time that one of the counselors would say, the ground is lava, everyone had to figure out a way to ensure that their feet were no longer on the ground. This phrase would tell us that a volcano had erupted somewhere around the camp, probably the boys' cabin, let's be honest. And we would all run around until we found something to stand on or until we found someone to hold us up. The thing about volcanoes is that they are incredibly destructive. We've seen it time and time again where islands are completely engulfed in flames as lava oozes or smoke billows. But as the volcanic eruption changes everything for a little while, the destruction does not last forever. While volcanoes they leave an immense amount of destruction in their aftermath, they also create a firm foundation for communities to rebuild together. These communities eventually become places of paradise to all who encounter them. Exotic plants will continue to grow everywhere. Birds will continue to nest in the trees, and gentle waves of the ocean will still lap against the shoreline. It's in places such as these that we're able to find beauty because we're not living in the past of the destruction, but instead, we've outlived it. We're able to dance where there had once been lava flowing and imagine answering the call as a community to rebuild for the future while honoring the past. And I can imagine that this is what the Thessalonians are encountering when we encounter the scripture this morning. The book of 1 Thessalonians is considered to be the earliest letter that we have from the Apostle Paul. Once his heart is moved towards the good news of Jesus, Paul can't help but share that news with communities throughout the ancient world. We first gain glimpses of Paul's visit with the Thessalonians in the book of Acts, as he and Silas spend nearly 1 month there. During that month, they spent their time getting to know the Thessalonians, hearing their stories, meeting them where they are at, and offering a new hope in the good news of Christ's presence and the promise that Christ was to come again in the future. And in just that short time, there were so many Jewish and Greek people who were ready to offer their hearts to Christ, similar to our confirmands this morning. And ultimately, they formed one of the first church communities. Beautiful, right? Almost. Paul's proclamations that acknowledged Jesus as the true Lord of the world led to suspicion. Caesar, the Roman emperor of the time, was not excited to hear about the presence of another ruler, and eventually all of the Christians in Thessalonica were accused of defying Caesar, and persecution began. So much so that Paul and Silas had to flee the city. And this letter that we're reading from this morning is Paul's attempt to reconnect with the Christians after he received word that they were being persecuted. And even in the midst of it, they were still flourishing. This letter addressed a number of wonders that they had as they continued to live out their faith while building this church. In two main movements throughout the letter, Paul first celebrates their faithfulness in Jesus, and then, second, challenges them to continue to grow in their faith. And we find ourselves in the second movement of this letter this morning. Not only is Paul challenging the people of Thessalonica to grow in their faith, he is also encouraging them to live lives of faith grounded in the goodness of God. He encourages them to be a people who are committed to loving God and loving their neighbors deeply and working diligently so that in their abundance they might be able to serve their community with generosity. He also continues by answering questions that the Thessalonians have about Christ's return. Paul encourages them, even in seasons of persecution that require persistence, that they are to be encouraged because nothing can separate them from the love of God. Instead, it's in seasons such as this of persecution and hardship, of despair and destruction, that we are to live in such a way that prepares our hearts to hope for Jesus's return. Maybe even living in such a way as if that future day is already here. The Message version of our scripture, this reading this morning, says, "Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all of the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. Don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master. But on the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what is good. Throw out anything that is tainted with evil. May God Himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If He said it, He will do it." But what I think about as I hold this scripture on my heart and in my mind, it's really important to acknowledge that Paul isn't saying that everything is going to be easy or light or good or just. But instead, he knows that the Thessalonians are already facing immense hardship. Persecution that requires persistence, destruction that causes despair, and fear that is drawing them deeper and deeper into the depths of their faith. And it's so important to remember this context, specifically with scriptures that are uplifting as this, so that it might not just become something that we say, but instead something that we live throughout our every day. This morning, we are excited to welcome 27 confirmands here in the sanctuary and at First on Chatham who have leaned in to the encouragement of Paul to live in a way that causes them to pray without ceasing, to rejoice always, and to give thanks in all circumstances. And over the last year, each and every one of you have journeyed together through weekly lessons. Some of you may not have realized that they were a whole year. Occasional outings and retreats that brought you closer to God, closer to one another, and closer to who God is calling you to be. And alongside your parents as faith leaders and staff and volunteers who serve alongside you and one another to encourage along the way, you have made it to this point today, ready to declare your faithfulness in Christ and commit to being a part of the church. You have done the work of checking everything out. The skepticism is good sometimes. Keeping only what is good and tossing what is evil. And alongside your promise of faithfulness to the church, you will also receive a promise from God this morning. The same God that makes everything holy and whole will make you holy and whole in spirit and soul and body. For you are called by God. And might we all be reminded in this letter from Paul to the Thessalonians that there are seasons where we are going to face the destruction of volcanoes, whether literal or metaphorical, where we are going to face despair and loss, and we're going to need to hold on to with persistence to carry on and go forward. And when we find ourselves in seasons such as this, everything might change for a moment or for a while, but it will not last forever. God is journeying with each of us every step of the way, providing resources like the church to surround every disciple in immense love, regardless of the things we believe should or could preclude us, providing community so that when we face these hard seasons, we can know that we do not have to face them alone. And providing presence through the Spirit and Scriptures as a tangible promise that we have to reference so that we might feel the presence of God within and throughout our everyday lives. And providing tools like joy and prayer and thanksgiving, reminding us that there is more to the to our stories than the seasons of hardship that we face. One of my favorite reminders about God's provision and promise comes from an author and artist, Mari Andrews, in her book, My Inner Sky, where she writes, "How kind of the world to provide abundant citrus during winter when we are at our most need of vitamin C. It makes me believe that nature is on my side. The universe is on my side. My soul is on my side if orange trees are on my side." God has created all of creation with a deep and holy purpose. And all of creation, including each and every one of us, are invited into that same wholeness and holiness together. May we come to find that regardless of the seasons that we are in, that the Spirit is calling us forward together. May we not suppress the Spirit, but instead, may we trust the firm foundations being created through these seasons and circumstances that we encounter so that we might build together a paradise that brings forth flourishing. And might we know, might we also know that God is calling each of us. And it won't always be a linear one-time yes. We might find ourselves asking things like, "I'm not sure. Is this the right time? Am I the right person?" But might we always come around trusting God's own faithfulness with the response of, "Yes, God, in your faithfulness, I will be faithful." As we journey throughout this life, may we use our hearts to guide us and our faith to ground us in the goodness of God's grace. Amen.